Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51. Jeremiah, chapter 51. We'll read verses 28 through 31 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Jeremiah, chapter 51, verses 28 through 31. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his dominion. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds, their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places, her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken to an end. And let's pray. Father, thank you for what you do for us here in this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for our church, and what a great and mighty place it is. And yet, because of that, it's a place that the devil would love to attack and does. Father, help us as we fight the world and fight the sin and fight the devil, that you would give us your presence, your power, your love. Thank you for the man of God that you've given us. Father, as he preaches to us today, be near and dear to him, be near and dear to us. May we listen with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to ask this morning to pay attention on purpose. I would rather not struggle with the crowd continuously trying to keep your attention. So my request is that we settle ourselves, turn your cell phone off, only exit the auditorium if it is a dire emergency, and that will help us. It will help your mind to focus in on the truth of the morning. And you say, well, I can fiddle around and I can still concentrate. But the problem is the people around you cannot. And so let us give our attention to the truth, if not for your own sake, for the sake of those around you. The sermon this morning that I preach to you, I've entitled, The Purposes of God. The Purposes of God. You know, there is more to your life than what you perceive. There's more to your life than your mind seems to grasp. There's a lot more to this thing of life than just what you noticed this morning when you woke up. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 51:29, and the land shall tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. Every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. This chapter in Jeremiah 51 and the previous chapters, they are predictions that are being made about Babylon. The Bible says here that this land will tremble and it will sorrow. And in it, God said, I have a purpose. In other words, God was saying, you are going to tremble, but I have a purpose for that. And you are going to sorrow, but he said, I have a purpose for that. You see, because God said, and this is what he says here, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. God is saying to us that if sorrow comes, or if trembling comes, that God has a purpose for it. And then he turns around and says, for my purposes shall be performed. God wants his purpose to be performed. There is always a purpose behind all that God does. God is not as casual about our lives as we are. God is not as flippant about our lives as we are. God is not as quick to make decisions with our lives as we are quick to make decisions with our lives. You say, why? Because God has a master plan and you fit strategically into that master plan. You somehow lose track of the fact that there is a master plan that has been performed or put together by God. And God is hoping that you're careful every inch of the way to stay in His master plan. We lose track of it. We somehow lose track of how important our lives are. You know, there is always a purpose behind all that God allows to happen to us. We are not God's playthings. We are not experimental lab rats in God's in God's thinking. We're not puppets in a play that is performed by God. No, He loves us. We are a part of His family. We're a part of His master plan. The human race, though, basically, is self-centered. We've not been thinking about the fact that we were a part of a master plan. We were not thinking about the fact that there was more to this than just waking up this morning and doing our own thing and thinking our own thing and being what we want to be. See, we live in our own little world, mainly concerned with ourselves, and sometimes we can expand our concern beyond self to maybe a husband, a wife, and our children. But more than that, we just don't seem to have room for anything more than that in our lives. Most people cannot think beyond the moment. But let me tell you something. God has a purpose for your existence. Question. Have you found it? God did not just create you and put you out there and say, see you in 80 years. Oh, no. God created you for a purpose. Have you found and fulfilled that purpose to date? Or do you even care what it is? God didn't create you to eat. He created food to help you to fulfill or perform the purpose. God didn't create you to mass produce the human race. And any part of the reproduction process was to fulfill His purpose for your life. I can remember I was one day building a fort. I must have been about 6 or 7 years old. I remember it as clear as day. I had gotten some old pallets or skids, and I'd gotten some nails, and I'd gotten some tools out of Dad's wood, his work shed. Now, let me tell you something about them skids or pallets. They're sometimes pretty hard to drive nails in. Made out of that special wood, and, you know, it's treated and all, but I pulled out a handsaw, and I had me some nails, and I had the wood, and I was building me a fort in the backyard. Well, couldn't find a hammer anywhere, but at 6, you don't have to have a hammer. You can use an adjustable wrench. Y'all know what I mean. That's the biggest thing in the toolbox, and it's got some flat spots on it, and as long as you can aim right, you can drive a nail with it. I was out there beating a snot out of a nail, bending them, and just making a mess out of it. I didn't hear my dad pull in, but my dad pulled in, and I thought, yeah, it's going to be great. My dad's going to be so proud of me. So Dad comes out back, and I'm out there swatting at these nails with my dad's good adjustable wrench, and we had a talk that day. Haven't forgotten that either. Dad said this to me. He said, "Son, that wrench was not created to be used as a hammer. Use a hammer as a hammer. And use the wrench as the wrench. Use that thing right." And my Heavenly Father looks down at you today, and He says to you about your life, use that thing right. Your life is to be a tool in the hand of your Heavenly Father. And some of you are using your life as a hammer when God intended your life to be a wrench. Some of you are using your life as a saw when God intended your life to be a screwdriver. And your Heavenly Father looks down and He says to you, "I created you And I created you special. And I created you for a purpose. And somehow you have grabbed you out of the master builder's hand. And you're choosing to do with yourself what you want to do. And God said, use that life right. Use your life right. You see, as I used the wrench as a hammer, I was destroying the wrench. And when you're misusing your life, you're destroying your life. You see, God has a purpose for your life. Every person under the sound of my voice, you are a tool in the master craftsman's toolbox. You were created to accomplish certain things with your life. It would be sad for you to live your life having not accomplished, having not achieved, having not attempted, at least seeking what you were created to be and what you were created to do. I ask the humanity in this building to set aside your own self-centered ways today and take a moment and glance at your God and say, God, why am I here? Set your food aside and your sleep aside and your money aside and your possessions aside, your fun aside and your life aside for a moment and look at the one that created you and just take a moment and say, why am I here? Because the only way you'll be fulfilled in your life is to figure out why you're here and do it. You can handle the hardships of life if you know why you're here and you're doing it. The purposes of God. Please stay with me this morning. I want to talk to you about the purposes of God. See, God, number one, has a purpose for every life after its salvation. God, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've been saved for one day, or 100 days, or 1,000 days, God has a purpose for your life. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We should want His purpose for our lives. Here the Bible says that when we were saved, God had a purpose for our lives. We are to live in His will for our lives. But here's the problem. Most saved people tend to want to live in their will for their life. You're to live in God's will for your life, not your will for your life. But you say, I want to live the American dream. You better live the Bible dream. Well, I've always wanted to. It doesn't really matter what you and I want. The happiest state in which a Christian could find himself is in the state of being in the center of the will of God for their life. God, you say, what's the purpose? My salvation. What was the purpose? Obviously, the purpose for your salvation in God's eyes. He did not want you to go to hell. That's one of God's purposes for saving you. And you can thank God for that. But not only that, God did not want you to go to hell, and so His purpose, He wanted you to be saved so you would not go to hell. But there's a flip side of that coin. God also, He wanted you to be in heaven with Him. And so, you say, the purpose of God in saving me, well, His purpose was so you wouldn't go to hell. His purpose was so you could go to heaven. But wait a minute. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Not only were you supposed to get saved so you wouldn't go to hell. Not only were you supposed to get saved so you could go to heaven and spend eternity in God. But God left you here after He saved you. Which means, between now and the day that you see Him in glory, there's a purpose for you. Why didn't God just save you and then take you to heaven right away? I'll tell you why. Because God had a master plan and God has a purpose for your life. Just so you know, His purpose is not just a Sunday morning purpose. How many people only give Sunday morning to God? So they think, I went to church Sunday morning. I'm a good Christian. Wait a minute. If you come to church for two or three hours on Sunday morning, but there are 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week, there are 52 weeks in a year, 365 days a year, you really think that you're doing good percentage-wise by just saying, God, I'm willing to fulfill your purpose for 3 hours a week? I'm sorry. That's not real close. What are you saying? His plan is not just a Sunday morning plan. His purpose for your life is not just a Sunday morning purpose. It's a 7 day a week purpose. It is a 24 hour a day purpose. It's a whole life plan. God has a spiritual purpose for you 24 hours a day for the rest of your life. That is God's purpose. We so flippantly live our lives. We think we do God a favor by dropping by the church every once in a while. I've got news for you. You're to live for God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is time for preachers to raise the bar about what God wants from God's people. It's almost as if pastors will say to the people, come by the church long enough to give a little bit of money and then I'll see you in a few weeks and it doesn't matter how you live between now and then. That's poppycock. That's foolishness. God saved us. And He saved us, and we belong to Him every day, all day long, for the rest of our lives. See, God had a purpose for every life after salvation, but you know, secondly, it was by God's grace He allowed us to have a purpose. It is by His grace that we get to have this purpose. It is by His grace that we are included in His big master plan. Again, this verse here, 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us and created us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace. By God's wonderful love and grace, He has given us a tailor-made purpose for our lives. Wow. Can you picture it? The great, eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God took the time to give you a piece of the pie in the big master plan of God. He has taken the time. God has taken the time to plan for you a 24 hour a day, 7 day a week, 52 week a year plan from the day you got saved until the day you die. God put it all together and said, if you will walk in this plan, I am going to help you and be with you, and you're going to have the most fulfilled life that you have ever had. You can't get any better than that. Can you imagine your God took the time to plan your life? That's spiritually tedious for your sake. We're so flippant. Que sera, sera. Huh. We get to be a part of the big plan. Oh my. Some of you have the wrong attitude. Well, I have to live according to His plan. What? No. It's not I have to live according to His plan. It's I get to live according to His plan. I get the privilege to have a God that loves me so much that He had a purpose for every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month for the rest of my life. And it is His grace that has chosen to give lowly man a high calling. You get to be a part of what God's doing. What do you want to be a part? Do you care why He created you? Are you interested in His purpose for your life? Yesterday morning, Brother Rick Young, who is overseeing our building program out here for us, we were walking through the building. We were talking about the Sunday school classes and we're trying to figure out exactly how many Sunday school classrooms that we can get in the building, and we go back and forth and this number and that number, and that's a little bit up in the air figuring out what we're going to get to do. And I turned to Brother Young and I said, Brother Young, I want to thank you for all your hard work and diligent effort on this thing. And he stopped as serious as he could be. He said, preacher, he said, I love it. He said, I want to have a part in every Sunday school class that's taught in this building in the future. You want to know something? God is trying to help you to become a part of what's coming and what God wants to do, that big master plan. You know the attitude all of us ought to take? We ought to say, I just want to be a part. I want to find my part. I want to fulfill my part. And I want to do my part. I want to be in there where the action's happening. You see, folks, you need to stop and realize by God's mercy and by God's grace, He's looked down and He said, you lowly human beings, I think I'm going to exalt you virtually above measure. And I'm going to go ahead and plan a life for you. And I've got some wonderful, wonderful, fantastic things for you. That's our God. Our God has a purpose for our lives. See, God has a purpose for every life after salvation, and it is due to His mercy and grace that we have it. Here's the fun part about this, and get this. Thirdly, God's purpose is an eternal purpose. I wish that the Holy Spirit of God could come and take your weak eyes and strengthen them for a moment. Folks, we need to look past the moment. God's purposes are eternal purposes. They go further than the human eye can see. They go deeper than we can fathom. Our measuring instruments cannot measure the purposes of God. And folks, God has a purpose for your life, but sometimes we merely measure my purpose against your purpose and your purpose against somebody else's purpose. But wait a minute. God's purposes are unfathomable. God's purposes extend into the will of God past the human ability to receive them and perceive what God's doing. Oh, Christian that's born again, I wish you could reach down inside yourself and realize it's more than now. It's more than today. It's more than all about you. Your God had a plan, and the plan was for your life. And that life, if you get in that plan, God wants to show you and do some things with you that will reach into eternity. And you may never see how great what God did with you really was. Because God has given you an eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed, I believe that God can help you to do things beyond yourself. I believe that if you say, I want that purpose, I want to find that purpose, I want to fulfill that purpose, I don't want anything to get me off track of that purpose. I'm not going to let the burdens of life stop me from that purpose. I'm not going to let the hardships of life stop me from that purpose. My God has called me for a purpose, and I plan to be in God's hand. If He wants me to be a hammer, I'll be a hammer. If He wants me to be a saw, I'll be a saw. Whatever He brings my way, I've got to stay on the path of the purpose of God for my life. Oh my, what God can produce if you can go after that purpose. You see, our purposes are somewhat immediate. Give it to me now. I want it now. But my friend, an eternal purpose, God sees the whole picture. God sees the tomorrow, and God sees the next week, and God sees the next month, and God sees the next year, and God sees old age, and God sees eternity in heaven. And in heaven, if you will fulfill the purpose of God down here, that means in heaven you will see that purpose, and it will go on and on and on and on. When you get to heaven, when you get there, I think one of the wonderful things about heaven, the Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the hearts of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Let me tell you something, my friend, if you will find out what God wants you to do, and if you will throw your heart into doing it, if you'll let nothing sidetrack you, one of these days when you get to heaven, God's going to say, let me begin to show you what your work has accomplished, and that work will go on and on and on and on and on, because anything that made it to heaven is eternal, and in heaven you'll have the works, you'll have the accomplishment that God's grace allowed you to participate in. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place because you fulfilled the purpose of God in your life. God's will for your life affects now, but it affects the forever. It affects you, but it affects your family. It affects others that you know and others that you don't know. When you fulfill God's purpose, you will see its results in heaven someday. And you'll be amazed at the longevity of eternity. You'll say, wow, look my obedience to the Word of God. Now I see in heaven, I see that lasting effect, that eternal blessing. God's purpose for your life will create a domino effect of good that just keeps pushing right into eternity. Let me give you an example. Everybody here, you're commanded by God to win other people to Jesus Christ. In other words, you're supposed to tell them how to be born again and tell them how to be saved so they can go to heaven someday. You win one person to Jesus Christ. You have salvaged their eternity. They will no longer go to hell. They will now go to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you will see how that purpose will become an eternal purpose. And that person will be with you in all eternity in heaven. And you'll see it. You'll say, look at that. I remember the day on a Thursday. Oh, it's faithful. The Thursday night, soul winning. I went out and I told them, and they're here. And heaven's a real place. And they're going to be here forever. And after you've been there 10,000 years, they can still walk over to you and say, I still remember that Thursday night. And you'll say, I still remember that night I told you about heaven. And after you've been there 100,000 years, they'll come over and say, I still remember that Thursday night. And you'll say, I still remember it too. After you've been there 1,000,000 years, bright shining as the sun. You'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when you first begun. My friend, you need to zero in on something. You need to zero in on the fact that God has a purpose for your life. He created you for that purpose, and it's His mercy and His grace that's made that purpose available. And that purpose is not temporal. That purpose is not just all about today. It's eternal. It goes on and on and on. What a wonderful Savior we have. Not only that, sometimes God's purpose is to demonstrate His great power. Romans chapter 9, verse 17, the Bible says this, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. God said, Pharaoh, you were allowed in power. So he said, well, why was Pharaoh allowed in power? See, Pharaoh was an evil leader. God said, Pharaoh, I've allowed you power. Maybe somebody said, why? God clears it up here. He said, because I'm going to show you how powerful I am. I'll show you how powerful I am. And so you know, God has the right to be cocky with His power. God is the all-powerful one. He is the almighty one. And even when Pharaoh was lifted up, God said, Pharaoh, there's a reason why you were allowed to be lifted up. Because I can show everyone how you could be put down. You say, why was a Hitler as powerful as he was? Maybe God wanted to show that a Hitler could be put down. See, God said there are going to be certain things that come in life, and those things are because of God's purposes. God's purposes. You see, you and I, we've got to understand God is the one that put together the master plan. The human race wants to debate. Hey, and one thing you better be careful of, the more educated you get, the more you want to debate God. The more you want God to prove Himself. You've got to just obey God. Disobey God. Oh, but the mind, the human mind, it begins to think that somehow God must give humanity an explanation. Hey, there are just some times that something happens. It may just be God flexing His bicep. Don't let that scare you, folks. I know that's pretty powerful. But God, sometimes in life, and with what we call nature, just flexes His power. And God said here, Pharaoh, you were lifted up, not because Pharaoh seemed to be something special, but God said, Pharaoh, you have been lifted up so that I can show off my power. You say, how did God do it? I'll tell you exactly what happened. Pharaoh had him some magicians, and Moses shows up, and Moses spends a little time with Pharaoh's magicians, and there's a bit of a competition that goes on. And Pharaoh gets cocky. This leader gets arrogant. This leader gets to thinking, I can outdo God. I can do what I want. Well, you find out in the very end that Pharaoh allows God's people out of captivity, and they take off. They come to the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walk across on dry ground. And Pharaoh says, we'll go get them. We're going to get them back. We're going to take them captive again. Well, let me tell you something. When Pharaoh's chariots got out in the middle of the Red Sea on the same dry ground that God's people had crossed on, God said, it's time for the water to close in, and I will show them I am still God. And God said, there'll be people in a New Testament age that will need to see the power of God and the stories of God, how God can make the sun stand still, and how God can raise a Lazarus, and how God can have victories when nobody thought victory was available. God said, sometimes my purpose is to just show you I am God. I am God. God wanted us to have a Red Sea crossing. Why? So God could show them, I am God. God wanted Moses to go toe-to-toe with Pharaoh's magicians. Why? So God could say, I am God. God wanted the world to have the story of the Passover lamb and the death angel. Why? So God could say, I'm still God. One of God's purposes is to remind the universe that He is the mighty God of gods. Say, why a cyclone, Brother Owens? Why a typhoon? Why a tsunami? Sometimes, God just wants to remind everybody, He's still there. He's still there. Hey, maybe you're going through a tough time in life. You say, I don't understand the tough time I'm going through. Maybe God just wants to show some people that your God is able. Maybe God would just like somebody to look at you and say, I believe that woman right there believes in God. I believe that man right there believes in God. I see an unwavering faith that won't stop, a belief in the goodness of God no matter what comes. Hey, folks, sometimes God may use the heartaches that you go through so somebody else can look and say, wow, what a God she has. Sometimes God just wants to flex His power. He wants to flex them muscles a little bit. You see, God is the mighty and the powerful God. You know, it's easy to say, you know, here at our church we'll say, God's good. And somebody says all the time, the easiest time to say God's good is when everything's going your way. There are people in here that would say God's good all the time as long as you had a happy morning. But the minute Satan has attacked you viciously, the very moment all of hell rises up against you to try to steal your spirit, very moment that Satan comes out of the pit of hell to try to destroy you, and the preacher says, God is good. You put your tail between your legs, and everybody else says all the time, and you sat there questioning your God. Well, I have news for you today. God's good all the time. God's goodness is not based on how God treats me. God's goodness is not based on how God treats you. God's goodness is based on the fact that I've got a good God. My God's a good God. My God's a good God. And I believe that to the very core of my being. And God said there are some times when things will happen to you. There are some times when God just chooses to show He's still God. See, the Bible teaches us. God has many purposes for life. I got to looking as I studied the Word of God. And I noticed that God's purposes should become our purposes. God had a purpose behind His judgment of the city, the place called Babylon. And Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. What this says here, the Bible says, everybody look right at me if you will. God said, what I've said, it is going to come to pass. And God said, that is my purpose. You know something? Sometimes I think hardship comes to us. Sometimes I think things that happen in life come so that, just like this passage of Scripture, God said, my word, it shall stand. My word, it shall be so. The Bible says in Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back? Here God is saying to us, there are sometimes my purposes are just to show somebody, I said it, I meant it, and you can go to the bank on it. Sometimes what happens in life, either to you or to me or in life, it is just God saying, my word is true, period. Period. Here the Bible says, you can't disannul it. What's it mean? You can't cancel it out. Here it says, man should not try to turn it back. You can't change it. There are times I think God wants in your life, I think God wants you to rise up and proclaim, whatever God said, I believe it, that's it. That's it. You know, we're to take Him at our word, at His word. We need to learn to obey His word without hesitation. What's one of God's purposes? One of God's purposes in life is that people would take Him at His word. One of God's purposes for your life is that your life proves that what God says He means. Your life should demonstrate to all a respect and an unwavering commitment to God's word. You say, Brother Lawrence, give me the whys. I can't give you all the whys. I'm not God. But I can tell you this. One of the purposes of God is that His word is not disannulled by His people. There are times when you're saying why, and what God is really watching for you to do is obey. Obey His word. Don't cower. Don't put your tail between your legs and run. You said to your friend, I've been serving God and God's blessing me, and all of a sudden your business fell apart, and your friend came back and said, what about your God now? And that's when you rise up and you say, my God's good. And hey, you listen to me, you say to your friend, I stand true. If my business falls apart or my business prospers, that's my God, and I still believe the Bible. Don't let the naysayers cause you to want to run. There are times when the purpose of God in our life is just so that God can remind us, my word is true. Now, stick with it. Immediate obedience to God's word. That's one of the purposes. Your body should be in total subjection to God. Speaking of your body being in total subjection to God, let me give this to you. A lady said, I feel like my body has gotten totally out of shape. So when I got my doctor's permission to join a fitness club and start exercising, I decided to take an aerobics class for beginners. I bent, I twisted, I gyrated, I jumped, I ran, I walked, I jumped up and down, sideways, crossways. I perspired for an hour, but by the time I finally got my leotards on, the class was over. Submit your body to the Lord. Folks, our lives, they're bigger than the casualness that we give them. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. From the moment you got saved, it was God's mercy and God's grace that made that purpose available. God has an eternal purpose. It goes further than just for the moment. Sometimes God's purpose is that God just wants to show the power of God. Sometimes God's purpose is this. Sometimes God wants to see us reject the worldliness of this world. It's one of God's purposes. Listen to this. Isaiah 19:12, the Bible says, where are they? Where are thy wise men? And let them tell thee now. And let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of worldliness. Egypt was always down. You went down into Egypt because Egypt was a place where people didn't care about God. If the Christians were there, usually they were backslidden. If the people were unsaved there, it was a very wicked, carnal place. Sometimes God's purposes in life have something to do with our not being attached to this world. We are in this world, my friend, but we're not of this world. Men, as men, we are men in the world, but we're not to be men of the world. We're to be men of God. I do not cower in the presence of the men of the world. We are to be different. Christians are to be different. You will not fulfill God's purposes for your life if you're not willing to be different. I'm telling you, you will accomplish more for God if you're willing to be different for God than trying to be like the world and accomplish God's purposes. There are people that do not choose our church because we say you ought to be different than the world. Don't dilute God's purpose for your life. Step up. Rise above the norm. Churches want to be like the world to attract the world to it. Say, Brother Owens, if you'd lighten up around here a little bit about some of the teaching and things, you might get more people in. You'll attract more people from the world. I'm not trying to attract the world. I'm trying to attract the blessing of a holy God. The bigness of a church does not determine God's blessing. It's the holiness of the church. The purity of the people. You'd grow faster. You'd lighten up a little. I'm not trying to grow faster. I'm trying to grow strong. Depth. And God said, I have a purpose, and sometimes my purpose is all about you not being attached to the world. Not only that, God had a purpose as to what happened to a city called Tyre. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 23:9, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Here's what happened. God said that city right there is going to go through a very, very hard time. God had a purpose behind it. What was His purpose? It says here that God hath purposed. He did something to humble someone's pride. He did something to cause the honorable, that's the snooty, big shots, the ones that are above everybody else, God said there, sometimes I just want to humble people. I just want to humble them. What's talking about? Submission to God to the point of embarrassment. Can you? When was the last time you fell down on your knees before your God and admitted how bad you are? Can you work that kind of humility into you anywhere? You know why you don't pray? Because you don't need God. You're doing it all by yourself, aren't you? You're some human being, aren't you? I wonder sometimes, if God does not come to the Christian, I wonder if sometimes God does not come to us and He enacts a purpose in our life to remind us that we are nothing. 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 God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. God doesn't need us. We need God. And I think there are times when God raises up and God says, I'm about to flex. I'm about to show you that I am God. You don't have to understand why. But just make sure as a result of me, you need me. We're nothing. We're nothing. We're nothing. And He is everything. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Hey, what's the purpose? What's the purpose in life? What's your purpose in life? You know, our God sometimes just wants to humble us. I'll be real honest. There'll be people in here, you'll probably be offended with me. I don't say this to offend you. I say this as a man that loves you. It's my privilege to be your pastor. I want to do that till the day I die. I want to help you. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. But I worry about some of you. I've never seen you use the altar one time. What must God do to humble you to the point, human, that you are willing to fall down even in front of a bunch of other people? Shout nothing. Do I do it in private? Maybe God wants you to do it in public. Everything Jesus did for you, He did in public. One of God's purposes is knock that holy edge off of us just to make sure we know we need Him. You see, you got to keep yourself empty of self if you want to be filled up with God. That's what I want. Filled up with God. It's my passion. That's my passion. I want to pastor a church on my own. I don't want to pastor my church on the basis of my college degrees or my good looks, which you can all see how that could be possible. But we could add to that my humility, which makes me extraordinary. This is God's church. I want to be God's man. And sometimes God comes to us, He says, I have a purpose and you're not going to understand it completely. But that purpose is that I might humble you. And I may bring your pride low. That I might help you to empty you of you so I can fill you up. God's purpose. God's purpose. You know something? The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 10 and 11, it says, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Can I tell you something? Sometimes it's God's purpose just so God gets His pleasure. God said, I'll do my purpose because that's what I like. We sometimes make God into such a spiritual God, we forget that God wants to relate to man. And God just said there, He said, sometimes I'm going to do something and my purpose is because I like it. I have to tell you, Mrs. Owens and I'm going to tell us, honey. We're on the way home. We had a rough day on Friday. We came to the graduation, and then after the graduation, I counseled a man of God that needed some help. And we were heading home, and Mrs. Owens looked at me and she said, honey, I want some bacon. I called Cracker Barrel. I said, give me 5 orders of bacon. It's about 10 o'clock at night. We pulled in the parking lot. It was the only restaurant in town that was cooking bacon. You could smell it everywhere. We ate bacon all the way home. It held for a moment, didn't it, sweetheart? That was our pleasure. Can I tell you something? God sometimes does what God does because it is His pleasure to do it. And I have no right to take that away from God. You say, God, I want your pleasure as long as your pleasure is my pleasure. See, that's the way the human race is. God, I'm glad for you to have your will with my life as long as your will for my life makes me happy. I'd love for all of us to come to the point where we can say, God, if that pleasures you, but it doesn't me, I'm good with that. Go ahead. I trust you. I'm sure there are people, you maybe visitors here today, you said, I came to this church to see if this church has what I want. I don't want to be offensive, but we're not trying to give you what you want. We're trying to give God what God wants. And if that doesn't pleasure you, maybe you can find someplace that'll pleasure you. But this church isn't all about pleasuring the people. And I don't mean that wrongly, and you know that. I don't mean that wrongly. I love the people here. I see the head deacon back here been saying amen all morning long. My deacon board. Deacon board, you know, I love you. This church isn't all about pleasing the deacon board. They have long-term members. Members have been here as many as 60-plus years. And I love you, folks. I love you, Brother Smith. But it's not all about pleasing the people been here for 50 or 60 years. Nah. It's all about pleasuring God. You know what, Brother Davis? I would love it if God could look down in my life or yours and say, you know what? That right there pleases me. God. The thought that God would say, I'm happy with that, Jeff. I think that is so exciting. I watched some of the kids graduating from high school the other night, and I looked out and I watched the pleasure on their parents' faces, and you could just see the kids, what it meant to them to see that mom and dad were pleased. Lord, all we want around here is that you're pleased. And Lord, though I don't ask for it, but if your pleasure is not mine, I pick yours. The purposes of God. Purposes of God. God has a master plan. I want to be in it. I want to be in it. I don't want to mess my part up. And I don't want you to mess your part up. God has purposed something for your life. And I wish I could get everybody under the sound of my voice to become passionate about it. Deep within yourself, say, that is what I want. I want Him to fulfill His purpose with my life. Even when His purpose doesn't match our purpose. There are times when I would like to argue with Him. I just bite my tongue and say, all right, go ahead. He's going to anyway, just so you know. If you're here today and you've never been saved, could I tell you something? And I'm finished. There is a man in Luke chapter 16 that died and went to hell. The Bible says that in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. How many of you have ever heard the story about the rich man that went to hell in Luke 16? Would you raise your hand? You may put your hand down. Could I tell you something? There's a purpose in that man dying and going to hell. You say, what's the purpose? So I could tell you about it today, because God's purpose in that man going to hell and rejecting Christ, the purpose behind it is that you didn't do the same thing. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today. And let the rich man that's burning in hell today, let his purpose be fulfilled by you getting saved. Purpose. God's purposes. God's purposes are more thorough than what we realize. God is not as flippant about our lives as what we are. God is not as casual. Some of you that need to straighten up your lives, let me say this, and I'm going to pray. Some of you that need to straighten up your lives, straighten up your families or whatever, your marriage, whatever. Can I tell you something? It's more than all, it's just not just all about your hurt feelings. There's far more to this than what meets your carnal eye. It is the purpose of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.